So I have the honor now to present, and it's a fun case study. As you saw from the title, it actually did happen. It was a tweet that got us on national TV, but just like anything, there's always a backstory to it of like how this all came to be. So what I'm going to do is share the story with you, some of the things that we learned along the way, which is obviously what we're all here to consume, and have some fun too with this. It's a really cool thing that happened as well. It was for a really good cause. It was for a searching patient. So before I get ahead of myself, I need to kind of, take a step back and before we talk about this video that you're kind of seeing clips of, really help you understand what we do as a company and why are there lemons everywhere and people putting them in their mouths and all this weird stuff. So on the right side, we're going to start with the foundation, which is going to be obviously the foundation of this whole thing. We're going to focus on that, really who we are, the backstory to all this, so that way the rest of the presentation, this all kind of makes sense to you. Then we're going to go into the Casey effect. How many people here have heard of Casey Neistat? So a handful. Basically, think of this as the influencer effect, because he's a YouTube influencer, and that was when the lights went off, when we saw him activate on something that we were doing. And then that'll lead up into sort of another big win outside of being on Good Morning America. We had some work that our PR team did with YouTube, and I haven't been in all the sessions today, but I haven't heard about PR being mentioned, and I also, in the years, I have never heard that too. So I just want to maybe give you guys a clue in on something that's kind of different from a PR standpoint. It's very untraditional. Might be interesting to leverage in your organization. And then, of course, the recap where we tie everything together. So first and foremost, the company. I kind of been alluding to this over my intro this morning and a couple other times. But this is the office that I work out in Minneapolis, Be The Match. And I know there was several people that were familiar with Be The Match this morning. But just to reiterate, we save lives through cellular therapy. That's kind of what we do. But what that really means to all of you is our goal as an organization, our goal is in marketing, our goal in social media is to raise awareness on the Be The Match registry. We have about 18 million people in the registry. We've been doing this for 30 years. And we've saved many lives because of it, because of people like us joining the registry, doing a selfless act, and if they're actually matched to a patient that's suffering from blood cancers like leukemia or sickle cell disease, sometimes their last form of treatment to be cured is getting a transplant. And so they give you a call one day and they say, you've been matched to a patient in need and you potentially could save their life. Do you want to carry through and donate? And the great thing about this donation is you don't have to die to do it. It's an outpatient procedure. You go in, you come out the same day, and you have a little bit of soreness, kind of like falling on your tailbone. If you've ever done that, that hurts, but you get over it. And then you have, obviously, the honor of knowing that you helped save someone's life. And it's really cool because a lot of the donors get to meet the recipients after a year of progress and being cured, and we cover all of that, too. So it's a little bit about the organization. Our content strategy centers around the searching patient. We have a lot of patients that come to us and say, here's my unique story, this is what I'm going through. Is there any way that we can partner together to have you help us join, get more people to join the registry, help save my life, which is crazy to think about that, but at the same time help inspire and save other people's lives as well. And so when we think about that, this is kind of at the center of this whole story. Chris and Dylan. Chris is on the left. Chris is a searching patient. He is currently diagnosed with leukemia, and in October he was re-diagnosed. Actually, he was diagnosed when he was a kid. Was able to be cancer-free for many years until October of last year. His buddy Dylan has been with him his whole life, really close friends since childhood. And Dylan was in school in college when Chris was diagnosed in October. And dropped out of college, wanted to be there for his friend. And they started thinking, okay, we can wait for you to find your match, which he's doing. He's waiting to be matched to someone to hopefully help save his life. But he's doing fairly well considering. And they thought, you know what? We don't know if you're going to find a match. Hopefully you do. When life gives you lemons, you make lemonade, right? So it's kind of that whole thing. It sparked this conversation. It sparked this bucket list. Basically, he's got like several hundred things on his bucket list, crazy things like going to space, helping an old lady cross the street, which they've done, and she was really weirded out about it because they had cameras and everything, but she made it across safely. And another one of them was setting a world record. and that was at the top of it. But when you dug down, he decided to work with Be The Match to help set a world record in 24 hours for the most amount of people to join the registry in 24 hours. The previous record was 2,700 signups online in 24 hours. So we had a date picked for March 1st to do this record-setting day. And they also launched on their end, the two of them, they launched this hashtag Lemons for Leukemia. Has anyone seen anything from Lemons for Leukemia? You have? So a handful. So kind of think of this as like the 2018 version of the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. It's a similar type of thing, except the difference here is you bite into a lemon and it's sour, it's not the most enjoyable thing, and you're helping to raise awareness for people to join the registry. So his big thing is, you know, that we were really wrapping our heads around and trying to figure out how we could support him is, you know, he's afraid of not being able to experience the things that he wants to in life, and he doesn't want to just sit. So we obviously were supporting him in many different ways. The PR thing that I'm going to talk about later was one of those. But again, this Lemons for Leukemia, the challenge was initially kind of difficult to understand, which when he launched it in January with his friend Dylan, there was like four or five steps. You go to their website to learn about Lemons for Leukemia and doing this challenge, and he was talking about like finding the most creative ways to make lemonade. And so they were swinging baseball bats at lemons and crushing them and then squeezing the juice out. There was another person that did, they put a bunch of lemons in a can and with dynamite and blew it up and then drank the lemon juice, which I'm sure wasn't that delicious. And so that was fun, and there was definitely some people that were doing it online. We were watching for it and supporting it, but it wasn't really getting the lift that like ALS got, you know, several years ago. So what did catch on was this simple process. Talk about the importance of joining the registry on video, make lemonade in a creative way, which was basically people just started biting into the lemons, because you don't normally bite into a lemon with the rind and everything, and then challenge three orgs to do it. So when that kind of simplified, we sort of just sat around and waited, did our social listening, watched it, supported it as much as we could. But anyway, that's the backstory. That's kind of how we got to where we are with this next step, getting to the moment. And now that takes us to the Casey effect. So again, Casey is a YouTube influencer. He used to do a video, he did a documentary on HBO. He recently worked with CNN as a partner. But he's been creating daily vlogs for several years. He's very creative in his process. He works in New York City, and he has about 10 million, almost 10 million subscribers on YouTube, but a very close community on YouTube. So we've always been watching him and other people just in social listening. But on February 20th of this year, my mind was blown because in all honesty, I'm like totally a fanboy of Casey. I've watched his vlogs for many years religiously. My wife's always like, oh, you're watching your Casey vlog right now. Okay, I'll leave you alone, leave the two of you alone, because he's just such a creative creator, I guess. You know, he has a really interesting way of making videos. And I like making videos for social media as well. So here's the moment that I saw. And I didn't even know he was going to do this, by the way. But he was challenged by somebody online, and it was just a good cause, and he just decided to do it. So this is what happened.
Lemons for Leukemia, huh?
Oh. Oh, I don't like sour. Oh.
I'd like to nominate Akilah Hughes, L. Mills, and Peter McKinnon. Ah, that was disgusting. On a serious note, that is very important. Registering and making yourself available for a bone marrow transfer could save someone's life. You should go to bethematch.org and sign up. I did look at it. See that? I did it. I signed up. So even if you're not a part of this ridiculous challenge, I recommend you do the same. See you tomorrow or Monday.
So I was in my kitchen doing the dishes when I had this on, and like I almost dropped a plate. I was like, he just talked about us. I was like, oh my gosh, he just talked about us. He's like famous in my world, but like not to many people. So anyway, this was great, because I knew that he's saying something that all of a sudden we're going to get this huge lift in registrations. I looked at our Google Analytics, and of course, and I started seeing this, like, hundreds of people coming to our site, typing in bethematch.org, and I knew it was because of this video. So the other thing to think about is, you know, he challenged three people, and so, and I was, right away, I was like, okay, I know Elle Mills, I know Peter McKinnon, but the first one, I didn't know who she was, so I looked them up, and a combined total, they had a reach of about just under 13 million people. So obviously Casey was a big bulk of that, but like Peter McKinnon has over a million subscribers now, and between the four of them, it was almost 13 million. And the volume that we were getting that evening was just unbelievable. So, okay, keeping the story going, we knew we had to do something. And so I'm going to show you, the next slide is going to be the actual tweet that got picked up by Good Morning America. The video, you're going to see it. It's small intentionally because you've been seeing enough of me as it is today. Before I get into that, I want to kind of give you a little example of the process that went into this. So we knew this the night before on the 20th. The record-setting day was on March 1st, so February 20th and March 1st, 28 days in February, basically just over a week, right? So we weren't planning on tying Lemons for Leukemia to the March 1st record-setting day because it wasn't getting traction. It was their thing, we were supporting it. Anytime anyone would do the challenge, we would totally retweet it, thank them for taking on the challenge, you know, kind of pushing people that were nominated to do the challenge, but this wasn't really getting picked up. When this happened, we came to the office the next morning, people thought I was crazy, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is YouTube guys, crazy, we have to talk. So we finally got a meeting together at like 9 in the morning, and we started talking about this, and like, here's the deal. This is gonna blow up because the people that he challenged will do the challenge, I know they will. And then they're going to challenge people. It's going to keep, the snowball effect is going to keep going. So we need to do our part at this point and support this by doing our nominations, making our own video, and as the organization that's behind all of this, create our own piece of content, right? So we thought about who we would challenge, and we decided to challenge Love Your Melon for obvious reasons. And then Good Morning America, because Robin Roberts, if you don't know, she is a cancer survivor. She did have leukemia, and she was fortunately able to get a transplant from her sister, but she was very much in tune to Be the Match as the organization that was helping with all of this. And so she's a huge fan. So we knew that she had a connection to Be the Match. And then the other person that we challenged had also had a connection, a personal connection, was Mike Caesar from the Padres, the baseball team, MLB. So anyway, this was the tweet and the video. Here we go.
Welcome to Cold Minneapolis. We are here at the Be the Match facility, and we are excited to take on the Lemons for Leukemia challenge.
Woo woo! On March 1st, Be the Match will support Chris and Dylan's bucket list item number 4 of setting a world record for the most marrow donors added to the Be the Match registry in 24 hours. Learn how you can directly impact this mission by going to bethematch.org/worldrecord.
Okay, you guys ready? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We challenge the following people and organizations. Love Your Melon, specifically the University of Ohio campus crew.
Yep, and Robin Roberts and the entire Good Morning America crew.
And Matt Caesar from the San Diego Padres.
Done 3 days after Casey's video published, and so obviously that's not easy to do. We had a lot of moving parts. We had to make a video. We had to get people want to be in the video, all that stuff, and then we had to make sure that we did it quick. So let's talk real talk here. What were the barriers? Because there were barriers. When I had that meeting with them the next morning after Casey's video launched, we totally had to go away from our process. Our typical process: if we want to make a video, we go to our design team. We submit a request and we get a video usually in 2 or 3 weeks. That wasn't going to work here. And also, typically, we route a lot of stuff for approval But we were thinking, you know, we're creating this. Obviously, Chris and Dylan are already working with us, so we already have that kind of relationship and kind of ability to do these things. Timing was another big issue. And real talk, you know, making a video, even though this was a minute long, it still was quite a process. So here's basically how we broke it down in the 3 days. We had the morning meeting. We decided to do this. And then in the afternoon, there was another person in marketing that just took it up and raised their hand and said, you know what, I'm going to send an email out to the organization saying that we're going to do a 10-minute filming over lunch tomorrow. If you can be there, it's just going to be a fun thing. We didn't want to give them details intentionally because we don't want people to ask questions. Just like, it's a fun video for a good cause. Show up if you're interested. So that was happening. Me and a couple other colleagues went outside to kind of figure out where we're going to film. It was very challenging because we're right by they call it the light rail, but it's the metro. And so there's trains going by all the time. There's a lot of buses. But we had no choice. We had to figure it out. And then the goal was to get everything figured out the first day. The second day we would shoot and edit in one day. And then the third day we would publish this tweet. And so that was the fastest we could do everything. And we did it. So the day that we shot around lunchtime. We did it in 5 minutes, one take, intentionally. I had a lot of colleagues saying, we should say this in the video, and we should say that in the video. What about this? And I was like, you know, here's the deal. These are all important things, but we need to keep it very, very simple. So that way, not only does it not take away anything from the video, but the video stays short. If people truly want to know more, there's going to be links. We link them to our website anyway, and they can learn more about all the things and Chris and Dylan's backstory and all that stuff. So we had a lot of pushback, but people were very receptive because they wanted to all partner to make this work. And the editing piece, you were just talking about how, you know, you've had to do some videos and stuff, and it's challenging. And I think in this day and age as creators in the social media space, like, we find ourselves having to figure stuff out on our own to get stuff done, right? That's kind of why we're here too. So I've done videos over the years just to get content done, and I've Googled and YouTubed a lot of how to do it. But the thing is, like, I knew if I kept this simple, it'd be easy to edit. So we had two shots. One shot was the whole crowd when we were doing our opening thing. The next shot was them. We paused and cut this, but we had them bite into the lemons, and we went in close to get all of that with one shot. And then the final shot was back on a tripod. And so there was only like just cutting clips together. It was super easy to edit. And then we found some actually a pretty good tune that was royalty-free. So we lucked out there just by Googling some free music. And we pulled it all together. And then the last shot with the lemons with the flag, that was one of our designers. Like, just give me a few lemons. I'm going to see what I can create for the ending shot. And it was just cool to see everyone come together. So even though we had other things going on, we had our normal jobs, we still pulled together to make this work, limited resources. But the biggest tip that I would say out of all this, and you had KISS in your presentation too, but you had two S's. Keep it simple. Keep it short and simple. Okay, I'm even making it shorter than that. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Like, that's the biggest thing is we had to really push back with the team and even leadership on just keeping it very simple. Less is more. And you know, the reason for that obviously is the goldfish thing that you mentioned too. You know, people have short attention spans. So, wrapping all this up, so we launched the video, it was Thursday, and then on Friday this happened.
For a challenge? Chaz up for a challenge?
What you got?
Because I've been challenged, you all have been challenged, you have been challenged too. It's coming from Be The Match, it's called Lemons for Leukemia. Asking everyone everywhere to, yes, suck it up for Be The Match. They're trying to set a record for most donors added in a 24-hour period. You know, I can't step away from a challenge. It came via Twitter. And when I said, I'm in, challenge accepted, my good friends from Be The Match had a pretty hilarious response to that. So we want all of you to join us on Thursday when we'll take part in,
We're going to wait until Thursday.
We're going to wait until Thursday, but we're going to get people all around.
Just take a bite out of it now?
Yeah.
So, go ahead. Well,
it won't count now. Oh.
Bad decision.
I need one that doesn't have mold.
We're going to wait till Thursday. Don't do what I just did, George. Not a
I'm
smart
not,
move.
Mine's moldy. I'm not doing it.
But you know what?
You guys are really not selling this challenge.
No. We are selling this challenge because it's a fantastic thing. I saw them challenge you, and they said that you're Robin Roberts and the crew at GMA, and when you accept it, then we gladly are in with you.
Yeah, all right.
You do it, we're in.
Okay, next Thursday. No mold on them.
No mold on Thursday.
But in this little pre thing I did, be prepared. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, you got the skin.
Oh, George, it was not smart. But everybody.
Okay, so that, they didn't even tell us they were going to announce it like that. So that was amazing. Just seeing that was like, okay, this is awesome. As soon as this aired on Friday that week, so this was now 6 days before the record setting day, like right after this aired, their PR called our PR. And we were all screaming and whatever, and they're like, we want to make this a big thing. We want to have you out in Times Square and have, like, Be the Match out there and do it. The entire show for Good Morning America was going to feature this. Like, they were going to break to the news and then come back to this. Break to the news and come back. So that meant they wanted to have a camera crew in, obviously, Times Square where they filmed this. They wanted to have a camera crew in Minneapolis at our facility. They wanted to have a camera crew out in California where Chris and Dylan are and bring all of that together. It was just so amazing. Like, I get goose pimples when I even think about it right now because it's so crazy how it all happened. And I don't know if you noticed, but we strategically put in the tweet, we knew that Robin Roberts had the tie, but we put Robin Roberts in. I'm like, well, I'm just going to throw in Good Morning America crew, too, in the video and everything, because it's like, what are they going to do? Not do it? I mean, it's the worst thing that they could do. But they saw that call out, and everyone was involved, so it became a whole segment on their show. So this last video I'm going to show you, I have it muted, because this is kind of like the very short version of the homage to everything that came of this. So the day of the record, March 1st, this is them on the show. They had lemons everywhere on the back screen and everything, Times Square, lemons everywhere, people doing the challenge, Love Your Melon was there. But then The Rock did it, UNC did it, Gary Oldman did it, DeVito, Matt from the Padres did do his, Chris Angel, Sean Duras, crazy YouTuber, and I mean, like, there's so many people, and like, this is us scrolling through Lemons for Leukemia's feed over the course of a few days. It just kept going on and on and on, like we couldn't even get the right screen to refresh enough. And it's still going on. I mean, this is April 9th, you can see there's still people doing it. So it's definitely trickled down a little bit, but the moral of the story is, in 3 days, on March 1st, because there's this trickle effect from people seeing the segment and thinking about this or whatever, in 3 days we had over 12,000 people join the registry. Keep in mind, the record before was 2,700 in one day. We got about 4,000 in one day, so we totally set a new record on March 1st. Good Morning America was a big part of that. But this trickle effect of all the other people then doing the challenge, hearing about it on Good Morning America, it drove a total of 12,000 registrations in 3 days. And like I said, a new record was set on March 1st. So with all that being said, that's the Casey effect. It started from him and it's continued on from there. I think it's important to also understand that there was a backstory to this, too, and it actually, well, I won't spill the beans yet, but it did something even more amazing than this. So how many of you have heard of Good Mythical Morning YouTube channel? Yeah, so there's a couple. I did not know anything about Good Mythical Morning, and then all of a sudden it became like the only thing I could think about. They've got like a crazy awesome show. And while all this was happening and Chris and Dylan were working with us, one of the things on their bucket list item was to be on Good Mythical Morning. They're huge fans of this YouTube channel. It's like this podcast conversation or whatever. And they had, Chris and Dylan had reached out to them and they never heard anything from them. So as the organization, we reached out, our PR team reached out to Good Mythical Morning in January. And we pitched to them, you know, there's the searching patient. He loves your show. He wants to be on your show. How can we make this happen so he can cross this off his bucket list? So they totally supported it. They said, you know, yes, we'll do this. We'll have him come on February. They set a date. We got them out there. But we also, because PR was working with them, they made sure that they had a swab kit. So this is the kit that you get in the mail when you join the registry online. You get a swab kit in the mail, swab your cheeks, send it back, and that's how you get in the registry. So he like went through and did this in the show, but like it was funny, but serious at the right times. They were going over like common, you know, questions people have. PR gave them talking points that they use in the show. It was perfect. Anyway, it ended up airing on March 5th, so 4 days after the record-setting day. I'm not kidding you. I came into the office on that morning, and we didn't know it was going to air on that day. We just knew it was going to air sometime in March. I came in and I'm like, we're getting all these registrations. It's 8 in the morning. What is going on? And everyone was going to bethematch.org, bethematch.org, like typing at bethematch.org. It wasn't coming from a specific channel. And so then all of a sudden, tweets started coming in saying, just watching the Good Mythical Morning episode, and I'm super inspired. I'm joining right now. And so we looked into it. It was coming from this video. This video set an entirely new world record. So we had 6,000 people, no, 4,000 people join the registry on March 1st, new record. This video alone drove 6,000 people to join the registry in 24 hours from YouTube. So totally not even national TV, a YouTube video drove that many people and inspired them to join the registry, no questions asked. It was insane. We've never seen, our average daily registrations are around 800. That's to put it in perspective. Out of all of our channels, 800 a day, which is great. But this was a whole other ball game. So I think it's important. The moral of this is that, you know, how many people here have a PR team? Probably not, definitely not everyone, right? But about half of you. So obviously, if you don't have a PR team, put your kind of PR hats on, or think about how you can make that happen of doing that outreach to get potential stories to help organizations, you know, understand what you're doing and how they can support you. There obviously has to be a relation there. And this was a perfect opportunity to do that. So right now, our PR team, we have Laura and PR out in New York City right now, meeting with a bunch of creators on YouTube to just have coffee with them, talk. And some of them have also done the challenge from the trickle effect, so they're aware of Be The Match now. So we're leveraging that to build stronger relationships and just see how we can partner in ways that make sense. If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. We're not going to force it. So that's the final thing that I would talk about here before I open things up for questions is a recap. And there's three things that I want to point out with this whole story that I think are important. One is, obviously, you want to leverage social listening to make calculated decisions. So true story, in January, when Lemons for Leukemia was brought up, I mentioned how it was really complicated. It was like 4 or 5 steps. I was the one that kind of spoke up in January and said, this is too complicated, it's not going to pick up, so we'll support it. You know, as things are happening, we'll totally support it, but we're going to keep following other strategies at that point. So I made that call, and I backed it up with, there's too many steps, it's not simple enough, it's not going to catch on. And I ultimately was wrong, because what happened organically through social was people simplified the process. You know, instead of finding all these creative different ways of making lemonade, they just bit into the lemon or put a lemon slice in their mouth. And that ended up being what picked up. So when that happened, I mean, I totally, like, I can change my mind. It's fine. We have to do this. This makes sense. And that got us on Good Morning America. And I had some pushback from the team, too. It was like, you said no originally to this. I'm like, I know I did, but, you know, nobody's perfect. And we truly tried to do social listening. It just wasn't happening until that YouTuber did his bit. So like I said, and like Chris has mentioned too, keep it simple. Complicated on social just doesn't work. So this is hard because you always have people coming to you saying, well, you got to say this and that. What about this? We got to have this word in there, otherwise the world ends. You know. So you have to make sure that you push back and say, if we want social to really be effective, we have to make sure that we can keep it simple and grab the audience before we lose them. And then finally, if you haven't already, make sure that you're working closely with your PR team while they're doing traditional pitches, press releases, things like that. I'm sure they're hungry for more creative ways to connect and build relationships, and it's amazing what they're doing with our YouTube influencer channels now. So that's that. So I'm going to moderate questions, if there are any, and then answer them, I guess. So with that, I'll just take questions. And by the way, there is a link at the bottom if anyone is truly interested in joining. We have a join link there. All right.
Not really a strategy question. Can I ask you, did Chris find a donor?
So as of right now, we don't think so. We don't get updates all the time. Usually the patient's the one that tells us. But he's very public, so we haven't seen anything about it. And he's still putting out videos about the bucket list stuff. So as far as we know, no. But we know for sure that all the work that he's done has helped save other people's lives too. Good question. What else?
So when you guys put out the response video, you did that on Twitter primarily. Did you mirror it on other channels, or is Twitter your main?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we didn't want to assume that it would just happen on Twitter. So no, we totally did. We made an Instagram version. We just squared up the video a bit so it would the text would display without clicking on it. That was a quick, easy edit. We did it native on Facebook as well, and we totally tagged Good Morning America, Love Your Melon, the Padres. So very similar type of thing. But Twitter is what took, and we did it all at the same time. So we didn't know how, even though they had audiences in all those channels, we didn't know which channel they would respond to. So great question. You had a question, that'll come to you.
I work for the USO, and we actually have a similar campaign called hashtag Flex for Forces, great. And The Rock and Good Morning America, and a lot of people did it last year, so we're bringing it back. But a lot of executives are very concerned, like, how do we track this? Because it's not like they're tagging. I mean, hopefully they tag Be the Match every time or have, yeah, like at don't. The USO, but they don't. And it's just that hashtag. So what tools do you use for a hashtag tracker, if any?
Yeah, so this is kind of where I might lean on the audience. But so the challenge that we find with our tracking tools, so we use Sprinklr. That's our community management tool. It has pretty robust tool tracking mechanisms in there. But that's more than just tracking hashtags. It's a lot of things in there. We find a challenge when we go beyond 30 days with hashtags. We lose the data. So, well, the data is just not as easy to find. And so, but the thing about this is it's got longer legs. Like it goes beyond a month. And so it's almost like we have to manually track every month, come back and enter that in a spreadsheet, and then calculate everything together. That's been our process. But I know like there's third-party tools that just do hashtag tracking, and we've done some homework on them, and every time I ask, can you go beyond 30 days? No, but it's on our roadmap, which doesn't mean anything. So I don't know if anyone has any experience with that, doing hashtag tracking beyond 30 days, if there's any tips there. I was hoping someone puts their hand up. Say that again?
Crimson Hexagon is a tool that does social listening, but also does hashtag tracking. I think they will do a longer history, but it's an expense.
One thing that we did do is, so we know when like the campaign launched and that 12,000 that I pulled up to, we know that wasn't all from Lemons for Leukemia, and that wasn't all from Good Morning America. So right, there's all these touch points. And so we have to say in a 3-day period, we got these many registrations, and we have to say that this is from this trickle effect because the people aren't necessarily tagging us, all those things that you mentioned. So I think it's about educating and calling out the fact that we're not going to know exactly, because in order for social to truly work, it has to be unscripted, and it can't be something that we supply a person with a template. Make sure you tag us every time, otherwise we're not going to look at it. And right, only their followers know about it. So it's just about educating people. But I mean, I think that's a big opportunity. If anyone here wants to start a startup and figure out a way to do hashtags beyond 30 days, that's not as expensive, maybe as certain tools, that'd be great. You had a question?
Yes. My name is Teresa. I was wondering, I noticed Robin Roberts had mentioned that once she had accepted the match, that you had responded on Twitter and she was impressed by the response. I was wondering what that response was.
Yeah, so you saw, I think you saw the video of me and two other colleagues going like, oh, yeah, did you see that? So this was a split second decision. So I full disclosure, I've been with the company since January. So I mean, this happened in February, the end of February, and so I mean, I'm still kind of a new person there, right? And I'm also strange on top of that, so that doesn't help. So anyway, it's quiet in marketing. We have like 50 employees in marketing. Everyone was like heads down. She tweeted us back like within 10 minutes of us posting this video and accepted. I jumped up from my desk and I'm like, Robin Roberts tweeted at us! And people were like, woo! I'm like, come on, people! So I was like, who wants to be in a video with me? Like, I didn't even think about it. I was like, we gotta do a reaction video. Like, I didn't even know anything, like, if she would even like that. She doesn't know me personally. But I still was like, we gotta do a reaction video. So I just went to Instagram because I could flip the screen. I was thinking about all this in my mind. Like, I can't do this with just the native iPhone video thing. I wanna flip the screen in the middle of the video. So I shot the computer screen of her accepting us on Twitter, accepting the challenge, and I flipped it back to us, and we did this like, but the first take that I did that, I was way over animated. I was like, oh, yeah! And then they saw the video, like, that's a little too much, Ryan. Like, can you tone it down a little bit? So I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Because they were in the back going just like. So we did a second take, and that's what we did. But we just thought it would be something that would make her smile. Like, we weren't expecting it to be, it wasn't like a strategy, we were expecting it to be something that ended up on national TV or anything like that. We just wanted to make her smile and know that we're humans behind this, we're excited for her, we're excited to partner with her. But then the next day it was on national TV. So it was like, okay, great, that's great. That's how I want to be known. So, yeah. Okay, we have five more minutes. What other questions?
So I would have to assume you guys probably got a lot of user-generated content. At least the campaign itself probably got a lot of user-generated content. So I guess my question is, were you guys able to maybe, like, you know, listen for that content and maybe database it and repurpose it? Or if you had a process for doing that, or maybe what you did with any user-generated content if you saw that and, you know.
Yeah, so we definitely had the hashtag up. We still have it up to this day. It's part of our Sprinklr feed. So any social listening tool that you use, even just raw on Twitter, just doing hashtag listening, we do that every day. And we not everyone that will respond to, because there's people that totally do the challenge and they're just doing it to do it. They're not saying anything about the purpose behind it. They're not necessarily challenging anybody, and so we definitely are selective in the ones that we pick. And when we do see some that are interesting, or even if they don't tag us but they're still really interesting, we'll usually quote tweet them and put at the top, like, this is amazing, check out the, you know, this such and such doing the challenge, learn more here, so that people can kind of see where this is coming from, because some people, when they see these, they haven't seen the other ones yet. So we're kind of educating as well as supporting the content. We share them all the time. We look on all the channels. There's people, a lot of people doing it on Instagram, sometimes on Facebook. The Rock, his was mainly on Facebook at first, and then eventually he posted on other channels. But it has, like, I think, like 4 or 5 million views already. It's just crazy. But as far as, like, reporting, because we have Lemons for Leukemia in Sprinklr as a social listening tool, we do get some data around it. But it's more like reach, you know, potential reach, influencers. And that report that we've been using as far as influencers, we've been sort of working with PR to say, you know, hey, maybe these are some people or organizations that you should reach out to and thank them for supporting. You were part of 12,000 people joining the registry. Would you like to learn more about what we do? So it's a lot of busy work, but we're trying to build those relationships from that moment, for sure. What else?
This is somewhat related, I mean, not quite. I work for LIDS, and we've done some outreach to influencers like Casey Neistat and stuff. I've gotten some responses just by blindly sending out, like, customized hats, and gotten, like, maybe one response. But I'm curious, like, when you started getting all that attention, what were your first thoughts on how to keep that going? Because, I mean, you said yourself, like, these hashtag trends come and go. How do you keep yourself back and using that leverage to keep being in that conversation?
Yeah, it's a great question, because, right, there's an element of we can't necessarily step into that crowd because we're the brand behind. I mean, it's good that we have a presence out there, but we also want to make sure that it stays authentic. And so there's this kind of balance, and I'm not saying that we've perfected this by any means, but there's this balance of still taking a step back and letting what happens naturally happen. But we know that those touch points of us jumping in and retweeting and us quote tweeting or even commenting on those challenge posts, so people see that we're watching, the organization behind all of this is supporting it, that's the best thing that we can do. But really, the biggest strategy was sort of being in the moment, thinking about timing, and knowing that when this YouTuber did it, that there would be the snowball effect that definitely happened. And on top of that, Good Morning America snowball effect, I didn't mention this, but they challenged The Rock. So it was because of them, after they did the challenge, the three anchors, one of them challenged The Rock. And so that's why he did it, because he was called out on national TV, and I guess, you know, he's kind of in the spotlight. So, but he's just a good guy, too. So, yeah. Anything else? Yeah, great question. So it was all organic. 100%. And so I kind of pause there, because we have been talking recently about when we have partnerships, like, we're thinking about how to replicate Good Mythical Morning, but that was all organic. And so there's this fine line of, like, if you put money into something, does it, like that, where it's about a searching patient story, if people caught wind of that, you know, would it get bad press? you know, seeing it come across as an ad or a boosted post, sponsored post. So we don't know the right answer to that yet, but at the end of the day, if what we decide to do for a paid promotion ends up reaching more people to join the registry in an authentic way, that's good stuff. So I think we're gonna do it. We haven't figured out the right recipe for it yet. So fortunately, all this new record stuff is all organic. Okay, so thank you for listening to me. Thank you.